WKAR's Studio S at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports.
What is up, beautiful people? You are now locked into WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin, on this Monday, May 8th, 2017. We've got a great show in store for all of you out there as we will do our best to recap the weekend that was in the sports world locally and beyond. Well, today's Current Sports, we will talk about, yes, K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, blowing not one, but two saves for the Detroit Tigers. Yes, it was a very ugly weekend for K-Rod. We'll unfortunately recap what took place over the weekend for the Tigers. Also, the NBA playoffs continued to be ho-hum over the weekend. The Cleveland Cavaliers remain undefeated in this year's NBA postseason. And we will pose an interesting question to you all concerning the NBA Finals. You don't want to miss that. We'll also talk about a new commit for the University of Michigan football team. And on the back end of the show, you'll find out how an NBA veteran, a household name in NBA lore, is taking under his wing a former Spartan that only spent 1 year here balling out for Tom Izzo's Michigan State men's basketball team. That and so much more. If you want to be a part of our airwaves, you know that number. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. You can also go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports, where we are currently live streaming the show, or you can weigh in via Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, at WKAR underscore sports. If you comment or tweet us, we'll, of course, read your comments live here on the air, AM 870, 94.5 FM. So much to get to, so little time, so let's stop wasting it. Here are your Current Sports Quick Hit Headliners. All right, and we begin with the weekend that was for the Michigan State baseball team. MSU baseball defeated by Iowa 9-4 on Sunday in the finale of the three-game Big Ten Conference Series at McLane Baseball Stadium. Michigan State slid to 24-19 overall, 8-10 in Big Ten Conference play, while Iowa improves to 29-17 overall and 11-7 in the Big Ten Conference action after winning the series 2-1. The Hawkeyes won the bookends of the series, winning Friday's game 3-2, while the Spartans won Saturday's contest 2-1. Michigan State remains eighth in the Big Ten Conference standings, battling for a berth in the Big Ten tournament as the top eight teams qualify for the tournament May 24th to the 28th in Bloomington, Indiana. Michigan State plays at Nebraska this weekend before wrapping up regular season action with a three-game series against rival the Michigan Wolverines. Michigan State softball held off a furious late-game rally by Indiana to hold on for a 6-5 win in the middle game of a three-game series on Sunday away from East Lansing. The Spartans are now 27-21 overall, 10-12 in Big Ten Conference play, while IU is 23-29, 9-13 in conference games. The 7, 8, and 9 hitters for the Spartans, those being Lindsey Besson, Lexi White, and Milani Bakay, all combined for 8 of Michigan State's 14 hits yesterday. White and Bakay each had 3 base knocks. One of White's, a 2-run homer in the third inning. How about that? And Caitlin Evelyn tied her career high with a pair of doubles, which accounted for her 2 RBIs. The teams will play game 3. Well, first pitch has already started. Yeah, that one began at 1 o'clock, folks. We'll keep you updated on that score throughout this hour of Current Sports. Keeping it pushing. The Michigan State women's golf team is making its 18th, I should say, NCAA regionals appearance in the last 19 years as the Spartans will take part in the Athens Regional today through Wednesday. Again, I'm going to say that again. MSU women's golf, 18th NCAA regionals appearance in the last 19 years. Hats off to Stacy Slobotnik-Stoll and her squad. The Spartans are seated 14th in the 18-team regional, which is being played at the par 72, 6,344-yard University of Georgia golf course. Beautiful course. The Spartans will go with juniors Sarah Burnham and Katie Sharp, sophomore Carolyn Markley, and freshman Allison Gear and Paz Marfa Sanz. It marks the seventh consecutive tournament, each one in the calendar year, that these five are in the Michigan State lineup. The five players have helped Michigan State to five consecutive top six finishes, including consecutive wins in each of the Spartans' last two tournaments. We wish Stacy and her squad well out in Georgia. Michigan State men's golf has earned a berth in the NCAA regionals, heading to Squamish, Washington, hosted by the University of Washington, May 15th to the 17th. This is the Spartans' second straight trip to the NCAA regionals. Michigan State earned a number 11 seed in the NCAA Washington regional, which will be held at Audera Golf Club in Washington Monday through Wednesday. Now, the Spartans are one of eight Big Ten teams to advance to NCAA regionals, along with Illinois, which is the number two seed at the West Lafayette regional. The other Big Ten teams advancing are Iowa, Michigan, Northwestern, Ohio State, Penn State, and Purdue. Maryland, Minnesota, and Nebraska will send individuals to NCAA regionals. Get this news. Michigan State University men's basketball coach Tom Izzo will be speaking at Lansing Community College's commencement ceremony later this month. But get this, he doesn't have to travel far, all right? It's just footsteps away from his office, in fact. More than 400 LCC graduates and their families will hear from Izzo during commencement on May 11th at, you guessed it, the Breslin Student Event Center on Michigan State's campus, where Izzo's office is located. The event kicks off at 7 p.m. Joe Milton, a 2018 four-star quarterback from Olympia High School in Orlando, Florida, announced his commitment to the Wolverines in a video posted on Twitter, because that's where everybody makes official announcements nowadays, right? On Sunday night, at 6'6", 222 pounds, Milton is the number 10 pro-style quarterback and number 243rd player overall in the 2018 class, according to 247 Sports Composite Rankings, over other finalists who were Florida, Georgia, and Tennessee. Michigan now has eight players committed to its 2018 class. The Oakland A's rallied against Detroit Tigers closer Francisco Rodriguez for their second walk-off celebration in as many days on Sunday, capped by Ryan Healy's two-run homer in an 8-6 series-winning dub.
In the air to left field, Upton going back, Upton near the wall, Upton is going to watch this baby go, and we are walking off for the second game in a row at the Coliseum.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. It was a tough weekend to be a fan of the Detroit Tigers. Detroit erased two deficits in the game, getting a two-run blast from James McCann in the sixth to put them ahead 6-5, while the A's sat back and waited until the ninth inning to pounce again, and you heard how that one ended. The Tigers have a scheduled off day today before opening up a two-game set at AZ Arizona in their first interleague action of the year. Justin Verlander will counter softball Robbie Ray in Tuesday's series opener at 9:40 p.m. Vinsanity, Vince Carter, the 19-year veteran who plays for the NBA's Memphis Grizzlies now, built a new room in his mansion just for former Michigan State big man Deontay Davis, according to Memphis coach David Fizdale. Now, he told ESPN's The Jump that Carter wanted to give the 20-year-old Davis a place where the former Michigan State player and Muskegon High School grad could visit and be comfortable. Davis, a second-round pick in 2016 and former Mr. Basketball in Michigan back in 2015, he averaged only 1.6 points in 6.6 minutes in 36 games this past season. He appeared in three playoff games and averaged a little over 2 points. In the NBA playoffs yesterday, this is how things panned out. The Cleveland Cavaliers topped the Toronto Raptors 109-102. Cleveland sweeps that series, and the Cavs are now 8-0. In this year's NBA postseason, the Cavs booking a ticket to the Eastern Conference Finals. When it comes to Boston and Washington last night, Washington topped the Celtics 121-102. That series is tied up at two games apiece. Intriguing there. And also last but certainly not least, the Houston Rockets 125. The San Antonio Spurs 104. That series is also tied at two games apiece. Now, the 2017 NBA playoffs continue. Tonight, the Golden State Warriors play at the Utah Jazz in Game 4, 9 p.m. tip time. That can be seen on TNT. The Warriors have a 3-0 series lead. In the NHL playoffs yesterday, St. Louis fell to Nashville 3-1. The Predators win that series and will play either Anaheim or Edmonton, both teams which played last night, Edmonton winning 7-1. That series is all tied up at three games apiece, a deciding game 7. Exciting stuff there. The Predators now have never played in the Western Conference Finals. That all ends now. Very cool stuff. Tonight you can catch Washington taking on Pittsburgh 7:30 p.m. And last but certainly not least, co-favorite, Always Dreaming, written by John Velasquez, won the 143rd Kentucky Derby at Louisville's Churchill Downs on Saturday. Always Dreaming, a 9-2 betting choice, the favorite, had a great start and was second down the backstretch as State of Honor led, but Always Dreaming made his move with heading into the final turn. Always Dreaming won by 2 3/4 lengths. Looking at Lee, finished in second place, and Battle of Midway rounded out the top three. Irish War Cry, the horse that I actually chose to win that thing, the other co-favorite, he finished in 10th place. More on the Kentucky Derby in just a moment. Those are your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to be a part of the show, you know that number, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Again, live stream currently taking place at facebook.com/currentsports. And also tweet us at WKAR_sports or at Al Martin WKAR. Let's start the show.
Been unleashed on the far outside, and Classic Empire is beginning his charge, and he's coming wide as they turn for home, and it is Always Dreaming in front. Always Dreaming with Battle of Midway a length and a half behind as they come into the final furlong. Looking at Lee is making a bid now through on the inside up into second. Always Dreaming with a 2.5 length lead, a 16th to go. Looking at Lee is second. Then comes Battle of Midway, Classic Empire. They're coming to the line and the dream comes true. Always Dreaming has won the Kentucky Derby. And it was Looking at Lee second, followed by Battle of Midway and Classic Empire. The final time was 2 minutes 3.59 seconds.
And a second Kentucky Derby for Todd Pletcher. Won it in 2010, wins it in 2017 with Always Dreaming. And for the talk of Pletcher gets horses ready for the Derby, can he get another Derby winner? He does it here with Always Dreaming with the Hall of Famer, John Velasquez.
Is how we kick off this Monday afternoon version of WKAR's Current Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the show. Ladies and gents, boys and girls, I am your host, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 94.5 FM, the 143rd Kentucky Derby in the books. The official results, Always Dreaming, numero uno, at 9-2 odds, looking at Lee, I like that name, at 33-1 odds, coming in at second, and Battle of Midway at 40-1 odds, coming in third place. Now, it's always exciting anytime, you know, I plop in front of the television to watch the Kentucky Derby. First off, I mean, the coverage begins so early. I mean, because there's a lot of pre-races that serve as preludes to the main event, which officially began, I believe, around 6:50-ish on Saturday night. The coverage began at like 2-something. So about 4-plus hours of pre-coverage. And I tuned into some of it. I hit the gym and I saw, actually for the first time ever, Mike Tirico, formerly of ESPN, he anchored the coverage from the Kentucky Derby. And I must say, Mike, the Ann Arbor native, did a fabulous job like he always does. So versatile. I mean, Mike Tirico can broadcast anything. He could probably broadcast a game of chess and make it seem like it was a Super Bowl, right? He's just that good. He's so talented, so versatile. So it was really cool seeing Tirico in the broadcast. And with Always Dreaming, who was the favorite, I might add, Always Dreaming was the favorite, ended up taking the dub in Kentucky at Churchill Downs. You know, it's so interesting because I always ask myself, I'm big on attending different sporting events, right? I'm a sports fan at heart. I mean, heck, I always say I'm so lucky and blessed to be in this business covering sports for a living. And one of the events on my bucket list that is right up there next to the Masters, now the Masters a little further is the Masters for me, but the Kentucky Derby is in my top five, I should say, of sporting events that before I leave this earth, I must attend. The Kentucky Derby is up there, and it's always cool watching it on television because you tune into the Derby and you see just money everywhere. Money everywhere. I mean, what I mean by that is you see a lot of big wigs there. You see a lot of famous athletes, a lot of famous celebrities in the house rocking their fresh suits. You know, I even saw a guy with a tuxedo that was there. And you see the fabulous women who attend rocking these crazy big hats that remind me of going to church every Sunday with my grandmother, El Bethel Baptist Church. That's what it reminded me of, Isaac. I mean, you see, just about every woman who attends, they wear these huge, elaborate hats that I see each and every Sunday in Detroit at my local church, right? My grandmother, you should see her hat collection. It probably trounces every hat you see or saw on Saturday night. Very cool stuff, though, but you see money thrown around left and right. It's a big gambling day. Everybody's trying to bet on which horse is going to come first. You know, and Saturday was very interesting because, you know, watching it, I was curious to see if anybody had hit the trifecta. If anybody in the building got Always Dreaming at one, Looking at Lee at number two, and then Battle of Midway at three. And there was actually a guy, at least one guy, that was reported on from WHA S11, I believe that's a media outlet. I don't know what that stands for, Isaac, but via their Twitter page, they actually tweeted a guy who's honing up his trifecta ticket. He nailed it and only put $1 on that round out. $1, and he won $75,974. That's what he took home after putting just $1 on that trifecta. That is one lucky brother. And his name wasn't put out there. It's just a picture of him. I guess he didn't want his name put out there. I get it, brother. Didn't want his name put out there, but man, oh, man, that's one lucky dude, isn't it?
I wonder what he was feeling after winning that ticket, because it's got to be mixed emotions in that you take $75K with a $1 bet, but there's also that doubt in his mind of, well, if I had put two down, what about three, four, five, six, just going up ascending order? I mean, wow, 75,000 on one. And when I've gone to the horse track in the past, we always go on New Year's Day, actually. It's a tradition for my family back home. And one time, Al, I've never been more angry in my life at myself. I boxed an exacta, got it. We're taking home $202 on a bet.
Really?
And I realized that I had named the wrong horse.
Oh, you got to be kidding me. What do you mean you named the wrong horse?
I told him the wrong one. I literally put down the two numbers of the horse, and I thought two was three. So I was celebrating. I was going crazy. Looked back at my ticket, and then to my distress, yeah, I didn't win the money.
Oh my! So it was, this was at the Kentucky Derby?
No.
This was at the New Orleans Fairgrounds. Okay, gotcha. This is totally different. Yeah. I was about to get a little jealous, man.
No, you mentioned the Kentucky Derby.
Okay, but still very cool stuff, though. I mean, that's the thing. Betting on horses. I know my uncle used to do it back in the day. He was real big into it, and I never really understood it. I mean, it's a bunch of horses racing, right? I mean, how can you really pick the winner?
Yeah.
But you know, and you look at this. I mean, it's so. The sport is so fascinating to me because bloodlines are everything, right? Looking at the bloodlines of a certain horse can tell you a lot about whether or not that horse is fit to really compete at that kind of elite level at the Kentucky Derby. So I don't know what the bloodline is for Always Dreaming, but it must be pretty good, seeing as though there were a lot of people that felt as though Always Dreaming would have a really good shot at winning, so much so that Always Dreaming was the favorite in this year's Kentucky Derby. As far as the crowd goes, you know, I love watching the aerial shots of those that attend. A total of 158,000 people attended the race. That is a lot of folks, Isaac. And I've heard different views about it. You know, I know a few folks, a few frat brothers of mine that go down to the Kentucky Derby because it's like a party on the outskirts of it, right? You don't necessarily have to be in the building, but on the outskirts of it, I mean, guys, it's kind of like a tailgate at an MSU football game,
right?
I'd
imagine, yeah.
And people are drinking and having fun. And those who do attend, I mean, they're drinking and having fun as well, having a really good time. There was actually a shot of one dude that probably my favorite shot of the entire Kentucky Derby. One guy in a very nice suit, rocking some Ray-Bans, and he had on this pink hat. Like a pink hat that, you know, normally the women will wear. I guess he took one of the ladies' hats and was just walking around. He looked dazed and confused. Probably had too many juice boxes. But it was just people just having fun out there. Just, you go for the atmosphere, maybe not so much the race, if you know what I mean.
And if I went, I'll be honest, I'd probably wear a hat. It's just, if you're at the Kentucky Derby out, you've got to wear a hat.
But not for the fellas, man. That's for the ladies. The fellas can't rock a hat at the Kentucky Derby.
There's only so much you can do as a guy to really style up when you go to those. Mm-hmm. Might as well wear a hat. But actually, I think our production assistant from this past year, Griffin Wasick, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. was at the Kentucky Derby. I saw it on his Snapchat.
Get out of here, really?
Like a relatively dreary day, but it didn't diminish the occasion whatsoever. So, yeah, we'll have to check in with him on that. But I saw it on his Snapchat, believe it or not.
I'm going to have to check that out. If so, we'll try to get Griffin on the show to talk about the atmosphere there. But, yeah, that's another thing, too. It was a bit rainy, and it made for horrible track conditions. The track conditions were sloppy, and if you watch at the very beginning, something that I wanted more clarification to was what exactly happened to Thunder Snow. Because if you watch the very beginning of that race, Thunder Snow kind of pulled up, and I didn't know if he like got injured or something like that, but I guess he was kind of spooked out by the track conditions. Thunder Snow, an Irish born horse who ran in Europe and the United Arab Emirates, he had trouble out of the gate. He's never ran in conditions like that, so, you know, looking at it, the jockey eventually pulled his jumpy colt out of the race and said, nah, he can't even compete in this thing. So, a bit unfortunate, but, you know, that has a lot to do with it as well. I mean, because, you know, you kept hearing this dialogue leading up to the race that the track conditions weren't great and that a lot of the horses who are participating in this year's Derby did not have a lot of experience on a track laid out like that. cool stuff, though. I want to know, did you choose the right winner when it comes to the Kentucky Derby? I know I totally got it wrong. I thought that, of course, Irish War Cry, a beautiful-looking colt, that was my favorite to win the whole thing. He was the co-favorite, actually, when it came to the odds, but he finishes 12th. Well, excuse me, 10th. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We got to dive into this before we hit our first break, and that is the Detroit Tigers, folks. How embarrassing was it to see what took place when it comes to the closing situation, a situation that has been a glaring issue for this Detroit Tigers franchise for quite some time now? Again, we sound like a broken record each and every time we talk about the old English D. Because this is what is hindering the Tigers from taking that next step to making a legit run come playoff time, to putting them in position to even make the playoffs. This is what is holding the Detroit Tigers back. Now, I get it. We got about, what, 130-something games left to play in the season. But when you see this same old, same problem steadily become an issue year after year after year for the Tigers, I mean, you can't help but have a bad taste in your mouth. Am I right, Tigers fans? Again, the Detroit Tigers lost back-to-back games due to horrible outings from Tigers closer Francisco Rodriguez, K-Rod. When I was watching that last night in the bottom of the ninth, and to watch K-Rod give up the hit that ended the game, that walked off the A's, Ryan Healy's two-run homer that led to that 8-6 series-winning victory. I mean, the camera immediately went to the face of K-Rod, and he looked just dazed, confused, totally out of it. For the second straight day, Rodriguez blew the game. And Brad Ausmus, Detroit Tigers manager, Brad Ausmus had been holding on to some kind of hope that really, if K-Rod was put in his position the following day, he'll get out of it. Brad, you know, after that first blow, Brad went in the postgame presser and said, you know what, he'll be fine. He'll be fine. I know that this veteran closer is going to rebound. I'm not in any panic. But Rodriguez, for the second straight day, didn't have it going. He looked kind of spooked, if you ask me. His control wasn't there. That's the big thing when I look at when evaluating pitchers, especially closers. We have to wait until the late inning stretch, right, to come in and try and close the door on the game. How well is the control on those first 3 to 5 pitches? And K-Rod just wasn't there. I mean, if you look at the day prior to as well, prior to Sunday, I mean, K-Rod's control, he didn't have any control. And Ausmus had to say this after the game. He said, quote, "We are going to have a discussion. He's not closing out games. It's something he's done for a decade. So I think it's very obvious that it's not the same Frankie." After the game, you look at K-Rod and the demeanor that he had. I mean, he had this like this stunned look as he approached the Tigers bullpen. And then he sat, you know, I'm looking at an article in the Detroit Free Press, right? Anthony Fennec did a great job of describing this. Quote, he sat stone-faced at his locker, shell-shocked, before answering questions about his job security for perhaps the first time in his career, end quote. And that is something, Isaac, that when we gave our Tigers preview leading up to this season, really, Francisco Rodriguez wasn't a problem on my notes. I said that you look at the year that K-Rod had. He was consistent. I think he had something like maybe like 5 blown saves the entire year. In this season, he already has 4. That is something that blows my mind because this dude just is coming off such a stellar year. But that's pitching in today's MLB. You just don't know from year to year to year how a pitcher is going to perform. And age, father time, if there's one, you know, the old saying in sports, right? If there is anyone that's undefeated in sports, it's father time. Maybe that may be catching up to K-Rod, but just his overall control and how how contrasting that looks in comparison to last season is something that that blows my mind right now.
Well, and most of his blown saves, you mentioned the five from last year, came at the front end of the season, too. K-Rod found his way throughout that year and became the Tigers' most reliable bullpen player, expectedly, but he did find his way. I wondered, I was this close, and I'm holding my fingers about a centimeter apart, to saying that I thought K-Rod might have a let-up this year. Because I thought, okay, age is catching up with him. Typically, closers also have a tough time transitioning when their fastball isn't going as fast. But then I checked myself and I said, listen, K-Rod's actually adjusted as well as any closer I've seen. He proved that last season. It's not like he's pitching 100 anymore as for a few years now. So I thought K-Rod would be okay. Thing this year is, like you said, it's almost like he lost a little bit of control yesterday. For the first time, he's really had to battle through that. And now K-Rod has the most blown saves in the MLB. He's got four. Nobody else has more than three. Then you go back. K-Rod's got an ERA of about 8.6. He just has not been consistent this year. And even in games where he's pitched out of it, he's allowed a few hits, a few walks. He has not looked reliable whatsoever. So do you pull him instantaneously? No, but it is time to put him on a short leash. And this is the last position that the Tigers want any sort of uncertainty, because this is one of the few spots in the pitching rotation that they had on lock to start the season.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you talk about the starting pitching, and that's the thing. The starting pitching for the Tigers, it looks really, really good on paper. We all know that the Tigers can put up runs. That's not the problem. The problem is, you know, when you talk about that bullpen and bringing in others to try and, you know, salvage a game, or to just come in and just consistently get through innings and close the door on a game, you cannot rely on the Detroit Tigers bullpen. And that has been a problem year after year after year. Rodriguez has allowed at least one run in 8 of his 13 appearances this season. He has an 8.49 ERA in 11 and two-thirds innings. Again, 8.49 ERA. Mind-blowing. When you put his entire career in perspective, K-Rod actually ranks fourth all-time in saves with 437. So this is uncharted territory for K-Rod. And according to Anthony Finnick of The Freep, if Ausmus decides to make some kind of change at close, those duties will likely fall to lefty Justin Wilson. He pitched a scoreless eighth inning and has allowed two runs on four hits in 13 and two-thirds innings of work this season, and also four walks in 22 Ks. So we'll see if a change is made. I think that when you have back-to-back days like K-Rod has had, I wouldn't be surprised if Brad says, you know what, we got to do something here. Maybe let's give K-Rod's arm a rest, get his mind right, because we all know baseball, a lot of it is mental. Get his mind back on track. I wouldn't be surprised if Ausmus decided to make a change when it came to those late-inning situations. I think having this day off on Monday is doing K-Rod wonders now. Well, I guess it's a catch-20. Maybe, you know, you look at it and says, oh, you know what, I want to get back at it immediately. However, I think that giving him some time to reflect on what went wrong will do him good when it comes to his overall mechanics, Isaac.
I think putting him in the bullpen behind everybody else for a little while is probably good. Like you said, get his mind back on track, get his arm rested up and all of that stuff. But maybe also throwing him into more of that seventh, eighth inning pitching slot will help him get his confidence back a little bit. It's not all the nerves necessarily. It's not you have to make this final out. It's two innings of solid work, one inning of solid work. Let him get his confidence back. If I do think somebody from the Tigers is ready to take it back over, I do think it's Justin Wilson. Both of the Wilson guys on the team have looked pretty good this season. So maybe, just because the other thing to consider is going forward, K-Rod's not going to be there forever. Raise somebody in his stead at least, and then help K-Rod get back on track. That's still your closer, but it's not to say that you can't maybe experiment a little bit and see what works.
For sure. Again, the Tigers have the day off today and will get back in action tomorrow on the road against the Arizona Diamondbacks. That will be a two-game series, 9:40 p.m. first pitch set for tomorrow night. Justin Verlander is set to make that start for the Tigers. Again, the Tigers with this three-game road series against the A's in the books. Again, they're on a nine-game road trip. So to AZ they go. We'll see if they can get back on track there. I'm not too confident in saying that they will, and this is why, before the year even started, this is why I believe that the Tigers are going to be battling uphill the entire season and why I don't believe we're looking at a World Series team. That is not a news flash. That is not a new opinion. I feel like most of the Detroit Tigers fan base feels that way. Also, want to pass this all to you all. Gosh, was it a long game last night or what between the New York Yankees and the Chicago Cubs? Did you see this, Isaac? Did you see how long this thing went?
I was watching the 10th and 11th
stop.
Innings.
You got to be kidding me. This thing went 18 innings, dude. 18 innings. All in total, it had about 45 strikeouts the entire game. Isaac, there are players who have played an entire season. An entire season, an entire 160-plus game season, and not had that many strikeouts in an entire year.
Yep. Yet
we saw about 45 strikeouts last night between the Yankees and the Cubs. These guys swing at anything nowadays. Baseball has certainly changed, brother. I couldn't believe when I saw that stat last night.
There was barely a hit going forward from the ninth inning. There was not a run until the game concluded in the 18th. It was exciting baseball up until that point, but I am happy I hit the hay because, wow, that one dragged on, I'm sure.
No one's
Did any position players get into pitch? I mean, usually at around 15 or 16, that's when it starts to happen. But judging by the strikeout amount, I wouldn't guess so.
Yeah, no one's watching that game last night.
No.
I mean, I woke up and I heard Mike and Mike talking about it. And I'm like, oh my gosh, 18 innings? Are you kidding me? And again, yeah, the teams combined for a major league record, 48 Ks. In baseball's longest game of the season by innings, wrapping up in 6 hours, 5 minutes, it ended at 1 a.m. Yeah, I was snoozing by that time. Hope you're not snoozing as you listen to us here on WKAR AM 870, 94.5 FM. Call in to be a part of the show, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our first break. When we come back, we will chat about this year's NBA playoffs. Speaking of a snooze, have you been snoozing on this year's NBA playoffs? Because I must be honest, they have not been exciting. That and more. Don't go anywhere.
Take my
Was that some Kenny G, Isaac? Thank you for that, man.
Throwing it back.
Nice. Was that Kenny G?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, he's a legend, man. I love me some smooth jazz, brother. Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin, right here on WKER, AM 870, 94.5 FM. We wrapped up segment A by chatting about the demise of the Detroit Tigers, an ugly weekend for the Tigs, losing back-to-back walk-off games, closer Francisco Rodriguez having just two tough outings as the A's take that series 2-1. The Tigers have an off day. They will play at Arizona, the Diamondbacks, tomorrow. And we also talked briefly about the Kentucky Derby. Always dreaming taking the crown on Saturday night. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Also weigh in via our social media pages. Tweet us at WKAR underscore sports or at Al Martin WKAR, or leave a comment via our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports. Have two comments I want to read right here. This one comes from Ben Grimes, one of our dear listeners. Quote, the Tigers also need to part ways with Brad Ausmus if he is going to continue to back K-Rod, who has been absolutely terrible so far this season. We all knew that this was needed as well. Totally agree with you, Ben, and I believe that Brad this year is coaching or managing for his J-O-B. If he does not at least get the Tigers in the playoffs, he's done. He's got to go. I'm sorry. It was an unorthodox hire to begin with. Young dude with a lot of baseball knowledge, but far too often I don't get the feeling that Brad Ausmus has a steady hand of control on this team. Also, we've got Chris Jennings weighing in, quote, just think, we might have a rematch with Golden State against Cleveland in the finals. And that is a great segue into our next topic, the NBA playoffs, folks. And you guys know I am a huge NBA fan. I love the playoffs because it is basketball at its highest level with the creme de la creme of talent that you can't find anywhere else in this great Earth, planet Earth, that we live in. The thing is, though, when you have so many superstars linking up with other superstars in the league, it makes the NBA very top-heavy. Heck, you could probably make the argument that out of the entire NBA pool, there were only about, what, four, maybe five NBA teams that legitimately had a shot at winning or at least making it to the NBA Finals this year. And the proof is in the pudding right now. When you evaluate this Cleveland Cavaliers team, this Cavs team, which has totally made the Eastern Conference its very own playground, not losing a game so far in this year's NBA playoffs, it's hard to argue otherwise, right? A perfect 8-0 for the King, LeBron James, and the Cavs. Thought that Toronto would at least pick up a game there, but they just totally laid down, had an injury problem with Kyle Lowry, and that also hurt. You know, I believe last year, Isaac, correct me if I'm wrong, but Toronto won two games last season against the Cavs. So a bit of an odd series after coming off a year where you at least won one game. But get this, since the Cleveland Cavaliers ended the year with that 82nd game early in April up until now here on May 8th of 2017, the Cavs have played, this is crazy to me, just 8 games in 35 days. Talk about rest, right? That was like the running theme of this year's NBA season, right? Rest. Superstars shouldn't rest. The old school players didn't rest. Well, I'll tell you what, LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers are getting a ton of rest right now. I mean, a ton of rest. LeBron could go and probably play some golf for a few days and get his mind off of the NBA playoffs because it has become that easy for the Cleveland Cavaliers when you evaluate this year's NBA playoffs and when evaluating who their competition could be in this year's Eastern Conference Finals between the Boston Celtics and the Washington Wizards. I don't care who they play. They are going to coast through that series as well. And again, tonight, you've got Golden State taking on Utah. Have the Warriors dropped the game yet?
Warriors still undefeated, too. Good first-round matchup. It was a solid sweep, if you can call it that, against Trailblazers. But Warriors 7-0 so far.
7-0. I mean, come on. Can we get some competition? This is why when the move was made, when it came to Kevin Durant linking up with the team that defeated his then Oklahoma City Thunder squad, this is why I was so upset with the move, because it totally dilutes the league and makes it so top heavy that it's virtually impossible for any other team in the conference to realistically compete with the Cavs and the Warriors. It's ridiculous to me. And you know, you look at it now, and again, I do believe that the Warriors are probably going to sweep Utah tonight, put that in the books, and they'll definitely move on. It's inevitable now. It is going to be the Cleveland Cavaliers and Golden State Warriors Part 3. It'll be the first time in NBA history that we've seen the same two teams in the finals for not one, not two, but three straight years. Question to you, Isaac, is this good for the game?
No, it's not good. I mean, it's got to be some sort of variation because, as I told the story of the finals last year, I felt like it was a movie with bad acting but such a compelling storyline. Just because each individual game, each segment of the story was poorly executed. There were blowouts because that's the other part of this equation. Yes, the games are pretty much decided beforehand, but the Warriors-Blazers, that was a sweep. That was a good series, though, because the Blazers put their hands up, took a few punches, but threw some, too. It was a good fight right there. The thing is, coming back, the Cavs-Raptors, Was one of those games decided by 10 points or less? Mm-hmm. I don't believe so. I think every single one was a blowout. You have LeBron James spinning the ball in his hand in front of Serge Ibaka before nailing a three-point jump shot. It's just unfair. They were toying with him before that series started. The Cavs were saying, and this is good playoff banter, but they were hoping that Milwaukee won so they could have another game of rest. It's not as if they were like, let's go. They were just trying to ease this one in, because for them, round two doesn't mean anything. For the Warriors, they were joking about how Utah's nightlife is boring. That's what the NBA playoffs has come to right now. It's just not necessarily the competition on the court that's compelling. In many ways, it's what's expected in individual feats that come out of that. LeBron, you got to give him props. He's having the best playoffs of his career, one of the better performances of all time, shooting something about 45% from deep, 34 points per game, and 55% from the court, while averaging darn near close to his usual triple-double status. However, in other ways, these games, they just are so lackluster, because it's superstar versus superstar. When one superstar is hot, they win the game. When Isaiah Thomas scores 53, guess who that game goes to? The Celtics. However, when he scores 13 the game after, you guessed it, the Wizards win. So these games, they don't end up even being that close, because everything right now, it's strategy, it's game planning, sure. But it ultimately is not only who has the most talent, but what talent shows up. And when a team has three pieces of incredible talent like the Cavs or the Warriors, plain and simple, they're not losing.
It's boring. It really is, dude. I put that game on last night. I turned it off and started to watch that what's that movie, Barry, on Netflix? I watched that last night.
Good movie.
Solid movie. The dude who played Barack Obama nailed it. But back on the point, though, I just couldn't stand it. I couldn't stand watching it. And, you know, and Houston is one of those teams that really intrigued me, though, because Houston lives and dies by the three-point line, right? They don't care what you think about how they play. They are going to chuck it up. And I tell you what, when they're hot, you can't beat the Rockets. If the Rockets are nailing that three-pointer, no matter what the old-school savants of the game may think, and they may think that that's tarnishing the game, that's not real basketball, it's working right now for the Houston Rockets. That series being tied at two games apiece. But, you know, again, 125 to 104, not close at all. Washington and Boston. Boston 121-102. In fact, the Cavs and Raptors game was the closest game of yesterday's slate, three-game slate, 109-102, but still it led to a Cleveland Cavaliers sweep. Right now, LeBron James has to feel really, really good. And, you know, what's amazing to me about LeBron James, even probably more so than what he's done on the basketball court, is how he's been able to take care of his body. He is arguably the most durable superstar we've ever seen play the game. The amount of minutes he plays, the wear and tear he has on that body, he takes very good care of his body. It's very rare, if ever, you hear of a... LeBron has never really had a serious injury that I can recall throughout his entire NBA career. It's going to be Cavs and Warriors. My question to our listeners out there, though, is when evaluating this, would you rather see, you know, both Golden State and the Cavs both enter the NBA Finals undefeated? Or would you like to see both of these teams struggle a bit before they reach the Finals? Where does your intrigue level weigh on there? Do you want to see both teams step on this stage unscathed? Or do you want to see a game here or there where both of these teams are pushed? Because I tell you what, it gets so boring for me as a fan to have to sit there on my couch expecting to see some sort of competitiveness from the opposition when looking at the Cavs and the Warriors, and night after night, we just don't see anyone put up a fight. What do you think? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. And I think that's when you have this old-school conversation of, you know, Michael Jordan and Magic and Larry. You know, when you bring up Mike when he was in the 90s, this is what a lot of people bring up. It wasn't easy, even though Mike won six NBA championships. Heck, we all know when the Bulls were down, I think it was like two games to nothing against the New York Knicks, and then MJ had to put on the cape and lead them to victory. There were multiple times throughout MJ's run of six NBA championships, Isaac, where again, it's the Chicago Bulls. They eventually won the series, But at the end of the day, there were a lot of loopholes that led up to those Eastern Conference matchups, Eastern Conference Finals matchups, and those Finals matchups. Mike had to battle back, right? But then you look at LeBron, it's kind of a catch-22 because I look at his dominance and say, wow, that's a testament to his greatness. But at the same time, how much is he really being tested, you know? That Eastern Conference, I mean, it's like you're just running through, you know, rainbows and lilies. It's so easy to get through. I don't know. What do you think? Would you much rather see the Cavs in Golden State approach this without having a loss? Because there is some intrigue there, you know, right? You got two totally dominant teams finally clashing for a third straight year. There's some intrigue there. However, do you want to see some competitiveness that leads up to that storyline? 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Let's hit our final break. When we come back, we will wrap up this hour of current sports by bringing to you weekend winners and also telling you about some new content that we have via WKAR.org from our very own fabulous production assistants. That and more. Don't go anywhere. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. We have about 5 minutes left here in this Monday edition of WKAR's Current Sports. We've got two callers that are on the line and want to weigh in. Let's go to line one right now. We have not heard from this brother since like 1975. It's Apachu. Apachu, how you doing? What's on your mind, my friend? Hope you've been well.
I'm doing good, man. Doing good. Last year, and OKC and San Francisco played in the playoffs, and they've had a series. It was the most incredible series I had ever seen in my life. It was more powerful than the Boston-LA series as a kid. It was just incredible. And I don't challenge anybody's right to make logical decisions, like leaving to make more money. But when Durant went to San Francisco, it was over. There's no rivalry there anymore. And OKC doesn't have the flavor and excitement that it once had. And it's sad. It's really sad. And I think he changed the San Francisco team, too, or the Golden State team. So it was sad to see. It was powerful. Man, it blew me away. I mean, it really blew me away. Man, that was a powerful back-and-forth series. And OKC had it.
They did. I believe they had, what, like a 3-1,
never forget.
Yeah, 3-1 series lead, yeah.
That was going to be the playoff series this year. But it changed when Durant went to Golden State. And like you said, man, they're top-heavy. And it's like the Yankees back in the day, you know, where they were winning every year. It was boring. You know, it was boring. It was like the girls came over there in Connecticut. Boring.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you got to have something on line, something on edge, you know. So that's my outcry, man. But glad to hear from you, brother.
Oh, always good hearing from you, Apache. Right. Hope you're well, my man. And you know what?
I am, man. And cool, that's all.
And I want to bring this up too, Apachu. I mean, and you look at it and you say, okay, the NBA has to do something to combat this superstar to superstar linking up, right? Adam Silver, commissioner of the NBA, Adam has tried. To his credit, Adam has tried. I mean, what did Adam Silver do, right? He said, okay, if you stay with your team, you get paid more, right? If you decide to be loyal your franchise, you get paid more. It was the case. A lot of people forget this. If Kevin Durant decided to stay with Oklahoma City, he would have had a bigger contract than what he does now out in Golden State. KD.
I don't think it was the money, though. It wasn't.
Right. It was not about the money, Apachu. He said, you know what? It's about my legacy. I got to get a ring if I want to be among the greats. And he decided to go. He decided to chase the ring and not the dollar.
Well, Charles Barkley ain't got no ring. He said he's doing all right.
Preach on, brother. I hear you on that. I agree.
Yeah, I agree. You won't get the recognition, but I think too much value is put on that ring, man.
Yeah, it is, and we've done that as sports fans. Sports fans have created this dialogue where you aren't at a certain level of greatness if you do not win a ring.
When I look at Charles Barkley, with the ring or without a ring, he is still one of the greatest players to ever play the game, Isaac. He's still a top 15, 20 player.
Oh, look at Patrick Ewing. Look at Steve Nash. Those guys as well climb that mountaintop of NBA players. No ring.
Apache, thank you for your call. Appreciate it.
All right, man. You take care, man.
Let's go to line two. Ray from Indiana. Ray, what's on your mind?
Hey, I want to talk about my Indians.
Yeah.
I don't know what we do without our bullpen. Miller and Cody Allen have played fabulous since the season started. There's no hitting at all. Absolutely no hitting.
Right.
I can't believe how much of a slump every team seems to be. But I think they always go through this in the first month or two of the season, don't they, the batters?
Oh, for sure. And you know what? This is funny that Ray brings this up, Isaac, because, you know, we've been chatting on the show, Ray, about the closing situation for the Tigers, right? And what took place when it came to K-Rod and those back-to-back debacles against the Oakland A's. But you know what? If you look across the board in the MLB, a lot of teams have trouble when it comes to their closing situation. So I also want to make that point known as well. Maybe that, you know, breathe some life in the Detroit Tigers fandom. I don't know.
Even with that, though, the Tigers still do have the highest ERA.
Miller hasn't given up a run all year, neither has Cody Allen.
Yeah, exactly. The Indians are the exception, I think, Ray.
Yeah, he's 9-for-9 at Sage. You can't do any better than that.
Right, exactly.
Miller, I don't think he's given up a run yet. Hopefully he'll keep it up because they're only getting one or two runs a game. And Santana hit a couple home runs off this guy that throws 98 miles an hour the other day. That's the reason we won.
Right. But I will say this, though, Ray. When evaluating every team in the American League Central, I don't see a dominant team there this year. I just don't.
The Indians, it's going to be a lot tougher this year than, you know, the way they dominated last year.
Yeah, I think everybody's kind of even keel in the AL Central, if you ask me. When I look at the AL Central, I don't say, oh my goodness. Oh, that Indians team. Or, you know, I just don't see that.
17-13, we're only got a two-game lead on the Tigers.
Exactly.
Chicago,
right. It's so bunched up.
A game and a half lead on Minnesota. So it's going to be a dogfight, I think, all the way.
All right, Ray. Well, we got under a minute left. Any final thoughts?
No, I just wondered how's things going around there for you guys.
Good, man. Good. You know, other than I had a good weekend. That's a good way to close it out.
Yeah, life's good.
Life is good, Ray. We appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, I'll be down there in 3 months for the Kurt Warner thing.
Okay. We'll certainly have you on to talk about Kurt for sure. Thanks a lot, Ray, for the call. Appreciate it. Weekend winners. Isaac, you got somebody.
Yeah. If there's nobody else, always dreaming. You know, you got to give it to the Kentucky Derby winner because it kicks off this season of horse racing fascination across the U.S. too.
Ah, Canelo Alvarez for me. Canelo Alvarez versus Gennady Golovkin. That is going to be huge. We'll talk
boxing
about that.
Boxing fans everywhere,
yeah.
Get ready.
That'll be the biggest fight since Manny Pacquiao and Floyd Mayweather. We'll see you tomorrow, folks. Take care, and as always, be easy, people.